Saul's opinion had been and continued to be that medicine hadn't really changed much since the days of leeches and poultices. Nowadays they whirred one in centrifuges, realigned the body's magnetic field, bombarded the victim with sonic waves, tapped into the cells to interrogate the RNA, and then admitted their ignorance without actually coming out and saying so. The only thing that had changed was that the bills were bigger. He was dozing in a chair when Rachel's voice awoke him. "Daddy?" He sat up, reached for her hand. "Here, kiddo." "Where am I, Dad? What's happened?" "You're in a hospital on Renaissance, baby. There was an accident on Hyperion. You're all right now, except it's affecting your memory a bit." Rachel clung to his hand. "A hospital? In the web? How'd I get here? How long have I been here?"
"About 5 weeks," whispered Saul.
"What's the last thing you remember, Rachel?"
She sat back on her pillows and touched her forehead, feeling the tiny sensors there. "Emilio and I had been at the meeting, talking with the team about setting up the search equipment in the Sphinx.
Oh, Dad, I haven't told you about Emilio. He's..."
"Yes," said Saul, and handed Rachel her comlog. "Here, kiddo, listen to this." He left the room. Rachel touched the disky and blinked as her own voice began talking to her. "Okay, Rach. You just woke up. You're confused. You don't know how you got here. Well, something's happened to you, kid. Listen up. I'm recording this on the 12th day of 10-month, year 457 of the Hegira, AD 2739 Old Reckoning. Yes, I know that's half a standard year from the last thing you remember. Listen. Something happened in the Sphinx. You got caught up in the time tide. It changed you. You're aging backward, as dumb as that sounds. Your body's getting younger every minute, although that's not the important part right now. When you sleep, when we sleep, you forget. You lose another day from your memory before the accident, and you lose everything since. Don't ask me why. The doctors don't know, the experts don't know. If you want an analogy, just think of a tapeworm virus, one of the old kind, that's chewing up the data in your comm log, backward from the last entry. They don't know why the memory loss hits you when you sleep either. They tried stay awakes, but after about 30 hours you just go catatonic for a while and the virus does its thing anyway. So, what the hell? You know something? This talking about yourself in the third person is sort of therapeutic. Actually, I'm lying here waiting for them to take me up to imaging, knowing I'll fall asleep when I get back. Knowing I'll forget everything again. And it scares the shit out of me. Okay, key the disky for short term, and you get a prepared spiel here that should catch you up on everything since the accident. Oh, Mom and Dad are both here, and they know about Emilio. But I don't know as much as I used to. When did we first make love with him, The second month on Hyperion? Then we have just a few weeks left, Rachel. And then we'll be just acquaintances. Enjoy your memories while you can, girl. This is yesterday's Rachel, signing off.
Saul came in to find his daughter sitting upright in the bed, still grasping the comm log tightly, her face pale and terrified.
Daddy.
He went to sit next to her and let her cry, for the 20th night in a row. 8 standard weeks after she arrived on Renaissance, Saul and Saray waved goodbye to Rachel and Emilio at the Da Vinci Farcaster multiport, and then Farcast home to Barnard's world.
"I don't think she should have left the hospital," muttered Saray as they took the evening shuttle to Crawford. The continent was a patchwork of harvest-ready right angles below them.
"Mother," said Saul, touching her knee, "the doctors would have kept her there forever. But they're doing it for her own curiosity now. They've done everything they can to help her. Nothing. She has a life to live."
"But why go away with—"
"With him," said Saray. "She barely knows him."
Saul sighed and leaned back against the cushions of his seat. "In 2 weeks, she won't remember him at all," he said. "At least in the way they share now. Look at it from her position, Mother. Fighting every day to reorient herself in a world gone mad. She's 25 years old and in love. Let her be happy."
Saray turned her face to the window, and together, not speaking, they watched the red sun hang like a tethered balloon on the edge of evening.